What's going on, guys? We're back with the Contractor Compass. We got episode 26 here today. Just me and Jace. Tom is out watching the polls. We got the election coming up. So he is busy today. But on that note, we'll jump right into the topic. Me and Jace have been chatting a little bit beforehand. We're going to talk about operating. I mean, this year, I'm sure for a lot of you guys listening, this year's kind of been a shit show. So just talking about operating your business through an election year, whether it's, you know, you've been through a ton of them, whether, you know, this one was different or not. This was the first one where at scale, I can personally speak to that I was operating with multiple employees and all that stuff and, you know, large amount of overhead, et cetera. So this was my first go around with that. So operating your business through an election year, like me and Jace were BSing a little bit beforehand, but the first thing my mind goes to and what we were just talking about was marketing costs.
Huge.
Dude, so just to give some context here, to start this off, and I've told many people this year, and this is true. Just from my end of things, not talking about anything in my with our clients or any of the companies that we work with, just my end of things. So putting a little bit of background for people that are listening. So we're completely remote. I have sales guys that take calls that are their calls are delivered right to their calendar, right? They don't do a ton of outbound. They're that's their position. They're remote. They take calls, right? We run a lot of Facebook ads, Google ads, et cetera, to pack their calendar with sales calls. To do that, it usually costs, well, when we first started, it cost about $60, $70 a call, right? $60, $70 a call, which now is, you're never going to see that ever. No. Usually it'll run between, I like to see anywhere between $90 and $120 is what I'm happy with, right? That's fine with me, right? Call live person on the other end, right? These last, for quarter one of this year was okay. It was fine. When we got into quarter two, it's when it all started kind of shit hitting the fan. And on average right now, since then, we've been sitting at about $260 to $600 per call.
Yeah, that's bananas.
And just to give context to people, we usually change, and this is on the marketing side of things, and this goes for any marketing. We usually change offers or if you want to say angles, ad creatives, right? Mm-hmm. We do a lot of video ads for us. We usually change that like once every 1 to 3 months. Okay. Right. We don't change things if they, you know, unless they start to fatigue out. We've changed creative 2 to 3 times a month. At least for the past 6 months.
Yeah. Are you talking Facebook?
Yeah. Yep. And same with Google in terms of like copywriting, but more so Facebook, Instagram, et cetera.
And you're running multiple learnings too at the same time?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We, it's eccentric, in terms of what we have built out in there, but it sucks to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, it's tough. And you got a lot of people, right? And they think, and this is where I'm not trying to, undermine on a few people, but just put it to you this way is people will come in as owners of business and they'll start to change things as far as actual staffing. Because they think that's the problem because they, and I'm not trying to be rude or nothing, but they have no clue about marketing.
Yeah.
Like they don't know the first damn thing about it. And they're now coming down on their staff saying, blah, blah, you know, why is this happening? What's this happening? We need to make this change and drastic changes because they're so uneducated in the space.
Yep.
You have to do this, especially when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
It's not consistent. It never will be consistent. So just understand that as far as an expectation. That's the first thing I talk to. You could go and say, hey, SEO, we understand SEO is a slow roll. It is, something great to have in place. It's your foundation. It's your bedrock. You put that in place. It's going to run. You're going to see 6 months, maybe a return on that. This ain't your microwave generation, right? As far as your instant gratification, your PPC, you can throttle that up and down. You're going to see some traction there. But there's a million things that tie into it, right? You got to make sure your reviews are coming through strong. You got to make sure that you have other branding that's kind of somewhat a little bit of it happening out there. Your non-branding on your service and on your other sides of things, plumbing or whatever things is coming in strong. You got to make sure your LSAs are set up and your Google Guarantee because the algorithm likes that. You got to make sure your backlinks. So there's 100 things that are happening at that point to start to help you grow. Now, here's the other part that starts to come into play is when you start to run, like you were just saying, okay, yeah. We're in an election year. Hold on, let me turn it off.
You're good.
My Bluetooth off. You start to run through election year. Like you said, Q1, okay, we're starting to see it. Q2, yeah. I don't care who you are. You don't got to sit down and watch CNBC all day long to understand that the economy is shifting at a very rapid rate.
Yeah.
With that being said, everything comes into play. Google's jacking their prices. Facebook is jacking their prices. I mean, everybody has started running for the hills from a lot of these platforms. They're trying to go back to, we've talked about 100 times, trying to go back to old school methods, boots on the ground. So people saying, hey, my budget, and this is the conversation we were just having before we went live, was, hey, my budget was $5,000 5 years ago, and we didn't have to, you know, our guys were okay. I mean, during shoulder months, they only working 30, 32 hours a week, but we were okay. We didn't have to run this much. And I said, yeah, you live in a different world right now. Like, it's not the same, not even close.
Yep.
And if you were doing the same exact thing that you were doing 5 years ago at $5,000 budget.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You're at you're going to be at $10,000 just in price increases. And for a business owner not to grasp that, especially when they deal with material costs every day increasing and how out of control that has gotten.
Yep.
It boggles my mind. Marketing and material pricing is almost hand in hand at this point in time, right? Because everything goes up. The housing market goes up. Material goes up. Everything's going up. So, I mean, you guys got to get it. And how do we navigate that through an election year?
Yeah, 100%. And dude, in election years, it's so tough too, because it changes more than just the cost, right? It changes how people want to spend money, right? It changes,
right, exactly.
It changes a lot of things besides just, you know, and obviously we're not going to get into like whoever gets elected, certain policies, blah, blah, blah. We won't get into that, right?
No.
Just in terms of navigating the year itself. But yeah, it changes. I mean, it changes a lot in the marketing space. Obviously, that's something that hits us, the you know, obviously heavy being a marketing company. But yeah, it changes how people want to buy. It changes how people think. Yeah. It holds people up. It you know, you're going to see it in every industry, whether you're selling them an HVAC system or garage door, or you're selling them a marketing plan for 6 months, right? They're going to think, well, I want to see how this plays out, right? I want to see what's going to happen here. I want to see how this affects me. I want to, you know, whatever. Or,
but you got to think too, and not to, but you got to think, and not to get too much into the weeds, but it's a whole different climate too of even an election year. So if you've been through 15 of them in the past, 16 and 2020 was probably similar. 2020 was probably a lot more similar and a little bit crazy, but then everything got bumped up with the stimmy checks, right? You know, people had free money. So that kind of held, especially in service businesses, man, we blew up then. Chuck in the truck was blown up.
Dude.
But now we're in an election year where we have literally contractors. We got to go out and do permits, right? We got to go out and do inspections. We're doing things the right way as licensed contractors. And you got Joe Schmo down the street who's getting away with getting, you know, not having to follow the same rules we are because he's part of some type of program that we're, and I'm just going to say it, illegals are able to work for them. And they can fly under the radar and they're not held to the same standard. So they're undercutting every one of our bids. I literally had somebody say to me the other day, dude, our estimate is $9,000 over. I said, that's not even possible. Who are they got working for them? Children?
Correct.
I'm like, correct. Oh. And I knew the name of the company. And I said, well, I guarantee it's not permanent. I said, so just go to Homer and let them know it's not going to be permitted and it's not going to be inspected. So, you know, unfortunately, if that thing takes off, we got a problem. So the environment we're in definitely takes precedence. Now, an election year, the feeling and the atmosphere can be different each time. This one is very highly charged for all the reasons that everybody knows. And then inside of that, you got exactly to your point, people clenching their purse a little bit harder because they're trying to figure out, do I wait, right? What's going to happen on the other side of this? Do I need to have a huge savings account for coming into 2025?
Yeah.
Or is the economy now going to bounce back? Or because we just got the CPA or the CPI reports just came out, right? The jobs report that just hit this morning or yesterday. What was it? 12,000 or something nuts? They thought it was going to be 100,000.
Yeah.
It's 12,000. They're like, well, there it is, folks. The prophecy came true, right? And that's what CNBC was saying. So we're in a whole different world right now. And that's when you go into, I literally just had this conversation with one of my clients, the owners of one of my clients is, we are fortunate. A lot of us are fortunate enough. And everybody knows somebody that is where going to the grocery store, we are not deciding at this moment, and maybe we are, but some people most likely in a situation a lot of times where they're not deciding, hey, can I pay my bills or buy groceries?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, 87% of Americans are. They're facing that every day where they got to say, do I feed my family or do I pay rent? And that's, and they're making $80,000, $90,000 a year. So they're not used to being in this situation. Yeah. This is all new to them. Yeah. And it's recently just hit them. So then let's say a pipe goes out or they need insulation or they need, you know, heating and cooling. Now they're like, oh my gosh, I got to, and that's why we're at 87%. Everything's been charged and financed because now they got to take out their emergency credit card.
Correct.
To take care of those problems. But to them, we're walking in these people's homes who are facing this economy right now. And because it is an election year, right? Yeah. Because all of that stems together based off of this. And we got to have that conversation with them to make that decision. And in their mind, you know, they're asking, they already had a conversation with their husband or their wife, and they're saying, hey, we're going to have to tighten things up a bit because now we're going to have to make an extra $200, $300 a month payment. That's huge for households, right?
Correct.
That's a make or break at the end. So
correct.
Navigating these waters in an election year with your business is something to where Tony Robbins always says, you know, and it was kind of back to 08, right? You know, when everybody else was shrinking, I started growing, right? And he did it because he began to offer things to customers that everybody else wasn't offering at the time because people, everybody else was shrinking and pulling back, and he was blowing up and going ahead. And that's what you gotta do. So,
yeah, it's, yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot, the different ways that people think about it. Another thing to think about too, just talking about like all aspects of this, once again, just all aspects of operating in an election year when like people are torn about, you know, who they're voting for or whatever. I wonder if just like navigating normal conversations with homeowners when you're in their home, if they don't have the same views as you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Happens all the time. They love to talk about it.
Yeah.
So you go with the flow.
Correct.
I tell my guys, you got to be like Bruce Lee says, man, you got to be like water.
Yeah.
Now I don't ever put myself in a compromising or ethical position, right? Where I got to go against my moral ethics, nor am I going to blurt them out though.
Yep.
And I will give you a story. We just had a guy who got reprimanded at a job because, and this has, I guess, a little bit about politics, but he was in a GC's house, a general contractor's house, having a conversation about Vietnam War, and it wasn't going in the right direction. And he was just blurting it out. Well, he didn't know the GC's father was in the Vietnam War. So it went south really quick. He got kicked off site, and we had to send somebody else back to go do the job. And that's what you'll run into. So you'll have a lot of people, man. They're like, hey, we got to go this way, you go to that way. I find the common ground, right? So I'll find the common ground. Like if they're talking about, the economy's great, you know, cool. I'm going to leverage that when I'm going and pitching them. So if you're going to tell me the economy is awesome, I already know what direction I think you're going at the end of the year. And I'm going to leverage that when I sit down at the table. Now, if you're telling me that the economy is shit, I'm going to build a rapport with you because I'm going to now empathize with you
Correct.
And have empathy through this process. So I mean, I got surrounded by military families before, just recently, like 3 months ago, I was, you know, on site and I went into the house to spot check and the whole family's talking to me, all Air Force veterans. Two of them was active. One of them was a veteran. And the same conversation came up. I mean, I'm talking like off the wall stuff. So I play neutral, do a lot of yes, sirs, yes, ma'am. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'd be interesting. Like that's the nice thing. I don't know. I don't have to go into people's homes on my end, but like we were literally just in an Uber this last week and we went up for the Minnesota Gopher game and we were Ubering to the game. And I always sit in the front in the passenger seat of the car. One, there was a lot of guys there, but two, if driving through the cities, I get car sick, right? So I have motion sickness. So I always sit in the passenger seat. So I'm always the guy that has to talk with the driver if he wants to talk. Nice. Not ideal. But so this guy's talking, right? And my wife's sitting in the back, and I know she told me after, she's like, yeah, I was listening. She's very observant all the time. Her other sisters were also in the back of the car and they are not. So they had no idea what was going on. But she was like, I was curious to see how you're going to handle that situation. Because the guy's, you know, speaking on Kamala's rallies and and I mean, this is our podcast. I can say what I want. I'm not a Kamala person at all.
No, me neither.
And but I'm like, once again, I'm not there to argue with people. I don't really care. I'm riding in his car. You know, he's a great driver, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's, it's funny because he's like, he goes into a bunch of stuff and then he's talking about bankruptcy and he's like, yeah, guys, don't be scared of bankruptcy. Like, you know, I bought my first house after bankruptcy. I'm going to file it again. He gets a call, dude. He gets a call.
Oh, my.
From a bill collector in the Uber, answers it on the speaker. Right. And he goes, he's like, hey, this is so-and-so from whatever company. He knew who they were. And he's like, yeah, he goes, let me tell you what, you're not getting $80,000 out of me. He says, I'm either going to hit the lottery or file bankruptcy. And the person goes, we support your decision to file bankruptcy. He goes, all right, thanks. Put that down in my notes. Love you.
That's bad.
He's telling us about all these laws that got passed that like where they can't report your medical expenses, like that you don't pay to your credit in Minnesota and like all this other shit. I'm like, that's crazy, this is the epitome of everything that I stand against.
Yeah. And that's it. Finding loopholes, right?
Yeah. You know, and I'm like,
just doing what's right.
I'm like, dude. Yeah. I'm like, oh, disgusted sitting in this seat. And
well, and you got to think though, at the amount of time he puts in that research to figure that stuff out, if he put it elsewhere and applied it for the good. And I'm not saying, you know, you got to be a working man. I mean, hell, we're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So, but I'm definitely not for situations where people find loopholes and need, you know, handouts and game in the system, because then that just messes it up for everybody else. We all have to live in the system.
Correct. Yeah. 100%.
And not everybody's going to go down that road.
Yeah. So. Without a doubt. So to your point, I sat there and I was like, yep. Yeah. And then I would like every now and then I'd be like, I don't know. I said a bunch of weird stuff. I was like, yeah, isn't that sculpture garden? Just random stuff, right? This is a different conversation.
Yeah, just got to get it moving.
And we get out of the car. My wife goes, I noticed you kept changing the subject a lot.
Yeah, that's it.
I was wondering how you're going to handle that. I was like, yeah, I just had to get us to the place we were going first.
Yeah, so we didn't get kicked out on the side of the road, man.
Exactly right.
I've seen those TikToks. But to your point, those conversations will come, right? You'll walk in and then in today's world, through a political thing, right? You know, cause you do have those diehards, man. I have them in our company to where, one guy is, super sensitive to what's happening on the news every day. And I'm like, dude, you got to unplug.
For real.
And he'll come in with a bad attitude because of things. If things shifted in the political market, he has a bad attitude. If something in politics went good, he has a good day. And it's so messing with his emotions. Yeah. And I mean, I'm talking like living in, you know, to the point of being, you know, prepping and I get it, you know, definitely take care of yourself to an extent, but he brings that into the workplace. And then I got my technicians that also too sometimes that, and you know, this is heavy. I mean, we get it. It's happening to everybody. It's going to affect your life in one way or the other.
Correct.
So how do you manage those emotions and make sure you talk to your team without getting, because we always try to keep politics and religion out of it, right?
Yep, yep.
And most workplaces do. They're just two highly charged conversations that you really don't want to have. Yep. So here's what I do is I talk to my guys and allow them to vent to me about things that are happening. They're allowed to talk to me about politics. As long as they keep it isolated with me, I can control the narrative. I can make sure it stays within a bubble and I can make sure it doesn't affect the floor. Right. So they call me, this guy will call me and they have those conversations with me, but they know indefinitely those conversations. If you're pulling into somebody's house and they got a certain sign in their yard and you don't like it, you do not stay far clear away from whatever you're going to be having that conversation inside that house.
Correct.
That has to do with politics. And it's just really one of those fine lines of sand. And I've had people quit before because they said, well, it's freedom of speech, right? They go to the, you know, die because one of the states I work in is New Hampshire and the whole slogan is live free or die, right? So my point is to make sure that not only are you dealing with pricing, you're dealing with emotions, you're dealing with so many things that are going to be charging the atmosphere for your job, your company to make it even harder to move through that. And you'll sometimes just have people, man, they're just not on their game, especially we're coming in. What, we got 5 days left? Wait till this whole thing goes off and we find out who it is. Unfortunately, man, I'm going to be on record saying it, but I don't think it doesn't matter what direction it goes. I think we're going to be in a really tough situation coming at the outside of this, regardless of the direction it goes. There's too many sides that are too highly charged.
Yeah. I agree.
That something is going to explode in metaphorical terms. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? On the flip side of this, regardless of who's in there. So as a business owner, how do you prepare for that to come? Right. Because you can only speculate at this time. And yeah. a lot of it has to do with just having that conversation with your teams up front.
Yeah. Yep. So. And that goes to a good point that you mentioned. I mean, obviously staying with your internal team, staying away from those conversations. Mm-hmm. But if you do have bullheaded people and people that are, I mean, it runs their life, right? You can't, it's not like you're getting rid of them for having a political belief. Right. Or, you know, being concerned about it, they can, you know, that's totally fine. So it's also from an owner's standpoint, you have to, or a manager or whoever, you have to figure out how to navigate that, navigate that within your own team without creating rifts that are, you know, unnecessary. Yeah. That can be difficult as well.
Keep your baggage at the door, man. That's what we tell you.
100%. And like, I even have to check myself sometimes on like team calls. Cause like I make the assumption too much that everybody thinks the exact way I do, you know? Right. And I've caught myself on getting a weird look from a team member, or like when I say something, I'm like, you might not think the same thing. Maybe I should not say that, you know? That's just me. I'm learning that part of it as well.
Or just be able to get different perspectives, right? Because that's correct. Really what they all want to have it.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm not, I mean, that's the same thing. It's like, it makes it easier when you're not, like, obviously I have my own thoughts, but I'm not a shining knight for one of the two sides, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to push it on other people. I really don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you have to be that way if you're going to manage a team. You know, you have to play down the middle.
That's 100%. You got to play that neutral, but you know, I mean, there's times like they know my stance.
Yeah, 100%.
And they do, but it's just not to the extreme.
Right? Correct.
And it's to the point where, hey, I'm a human just like you. We're all going through it. We're all affected by it, but we got a job to do, and we need to maintain professionalism while we're at work.
Yeah.
And that's just where our core values have always stayed the same at our company. That's where if we have to put something in the handbook because we notice something else is getting a little bit wonky and there's, you know, nothing in black and white for it, we'll add it in. But it's going to maintain, like you said, that neutrality through everything. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. We got to maintain that, you know, again, the fact that we're a republic, right?
Yeah.
And we can have the ideas on both sides and be able to have that conversation outside of work, if that be the case, but all are welcome, right? So it's just one thing, you just can't get to the extreme because both sides can get very extreme, as everybody has seen.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Another thing that to chat about it, the same all rolls in. We talked about obviously like rising costs with everything in the election year. That sucks, especially in the marketing space. But let's talk about if people are like planning, right? Like what are business owners doing? Are they holding money? You know, are they trying to, you know, save as much as possible? Are they operating like it's not happening? Cause I've talked to both. I've talked to guys that don't care at all. They're pushing harder than ever and they don't bring it up once in conversations that I have with them at all. I've got other guys that's all I hear from them.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, and I'm sure as hell not here to tell people what to do. But there's different views on that. Right.
Yeah.
In terms of like what, so like if you're listening, right, and you're wondering, you know, what other people are doing, there's people doing everything, really. There's people leveraging and spending more money than they ever have before. And there's guys that are not doing the exact opposite, right? And they're terrified.
Yep.
They're selling their, you know, whatever.
That's been the big one, right? The selling has been happening a lot lately. So I think a lot of people, the reason why everybody's doing everything right now is because coming up to this moment, everybody positions themselves differently. Right.
Yeah.
So, and what I mean by that is, like the client I'm with, they owe no debt, right? Not everybody can be in that position. So if you owe no debt and you have, you know, X amount of months or even years in savings to float your company, you're in a good position to full throttle ahead and act as if nothing's happening.
Correct.
Now, one thing I do tell them is, unfortunately, yes, my problem is sometimes I think the head is in the sand too deep. And yeah, we do got to be aware. So I pay attention to the markets, right? So I watch the markets. I watch the CPI reports that are coming out. I monitor other companies going around. You and I have that list that got shared, you know, as far as companies that are selling and consolidating. Yep. I keep my ear to the ground on that. You, as a business owner, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in an area and everybody's selling, that's your opportunity to expand. Yep. Don't take that as, oh, this is a market trend, right? And I need to get out before everybody else, right? Everybody's trying to sell at the top before, you know, crashes out. Yeah. That's not necessarily true in the trade space. It's correct, always going to be there. So correct, if you're in a situation where you have loans outside of loans that happen, I think one big thing that is really frightening a lot of people in this space, and I've heard this time and time again, and this is where a lot of people are getting prepared to either sell or hold, is going to be taxed on the capital gains.
Oh, yeah.
If that does happen, every business owner is now going to be faced with a cost that is so substantial. It's going to be what they call forced selling, right? Yep. And that's how you get yourself into a Great Depression. So that is one thing I know that when I've had conversations with some clients, one of their first things says, well, I don't want to build my books too high, right? And you get a lot of people that are getting really creative on their books. And at the end of the year, they're making sure they're zeroed out. Yeah. And a lot of them have already done that, right? They've been doing that for years. So correct, if you don't know how to do that, talk to your accountant.
Yeah.
There's 100% legal ways and tax loopholes that you can get through.
Yes. Yeah.
But yes, on the flip side of this, half of them loopholes will be shut down, and that tax on capital gains can be a big problem. So if your business is profiting, you could get hit on a tax on that. Not saying that it's going to happen. We're hoping that it doesn't, but that is one thing that has only been the consistent thing I've heard out from that side.
100%.
And for small business owners, it's going to be crippling.
So. Correct. Yeah. There was, I mean, I don't think this will go. I can't imagine it would, but this is not necessarily in terms of like business aspects, but kind of is this a tax on unrealized capital gains.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's insanity. Yeah. Not just capital gains tax on unrealized capital gains.
Oh, sorry. So that's what I meant. The unrealized tax.
Yeah.
100%. That's it.
So if you're a homeowner, if you're listening, just what this means, right? Essentially, if you're a homeowner and your home goes up in equity that year, you're going to owe a certain amount of that.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
You haven't sold it, or your stocks go up, or your business for small business owners.
Correct.
If you now file and your value of your asset now, which is your business, your plumbing business, your HVAC business, if your asset now has increased in value and the government deems it to be that, you now owe on that unrealized capital gains.
Yeah,
and that's crippling for businesses. Yeah. You can't go and here's the deal. They don't accept shares. You have to pay cash.
Yeah.
So you have to get yourself into a position where now you're selling your business to pay your taxes. And that's why they call it a forced selling market is what they call it.
Yeah.
And it will 100% deteriorate and cripple.
That makes sense. I understand what you're saying then. Yeah.
So it's a really bad situation. I don't foresee that ever coming into play.
Me either.
There's way too many.
Hell no.
Big money donors behind both sides of this that will ensure that does not happen.
At the end of the day, guys, one thing I think we can agree on is like, man, I don't know. Jason, you've been navigating this stuff longer than I have. We are still very much, I think, driven by capitalism in this country. I don't think that people have deep pockets on both sides of the pool. So yeah. I think that. I you know, there's different ways of suppressing certain things, but I think at the end of the day, if you start messing with the money too much, people are, it's not going to fly. No.
That's why tax loopholes haven't been shut down.
Correct.
You know, there's a lot of fear mongering out there, but again, as a business owner, you do got to keep your ear to the ground.
Yeah.
You got to keep your staff also too, their emotions in check and help them through this. Because there's conversations as business owners you're having with employees that you probably never had before.
Correct.
Nor do you ever want to have again.
Correct.
And like I said, you know, there's just, you know, there's a way to approach it. There's a way to now. I mean, I used to tell my guys, hey, put your booties on. Make sure you put runners down. Now it's, hey, put your booties on. Put your runners down. Make sure you stay away from the political talk when you're in somebody's house. So it's like we're adding to this list of conversation that we need to have with the team. And then again, on the flip side of this, if revenue is down for you, and all your expenses are going up, you're trying to figure out how to get through this, you definitely need to start having conversations as far as, you know, how do you get your technicians to start selling more? How do you start putting different packages together?
So that right there, Jason, that is a great, great, great point that we haven't even talked about.
Yeah.
And we won't talk about it too long, but you gotta have, if you started the business, right? If you're a manager or you're whatever, or it's you own the company, right? You're probably listening to this, right? You got a little bit, for lack of a better way of explaining it, you got a little bit of the dog in you, right? Yeah. Don't worry so goddamn much. Get out there and figure shit out. Right.
Exactly.
New offers, new selling tactics, new ways to upsell, new stuff. Try, keep trying and stop worrying about shit that you can't control.
Integrate financing.
100%. Where the hell's Tom?
Yeah. Well, and that's a big thing right now. Cause like what's the biggest number out there right now? It's everybody's financing and charging. That was the shift for us and my team. You can't, like I tell my daughter all the time, jiu-jitsu, you can't muscle everything. Yeah. So you have to have skill.
You can't hold them up and sit on their head.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't drop them on the head, baby. It just doesn't work. She did that. And in same terms, you can't sit there and muscle your way through thinking everybody's going to pay you cash and a check.
Yeah.
Your whole entire customer base, Betty is not thinking the same way anymore. She's trying to figure out at $90,000 a year if she can pay rent or she can pay for groceries. And she's never been faced with that. But you know what Betty did have? She had a really good credit score the entire time. She had a bunch of credit cards that she's always had and kept at a good balance because she knew her credit score needed to be good.
Yep.
And she has that option now that she's never really tapped into to start getting these home services taken care of. And if you don't have a way to go ahead and number one, financing sometimes is cheaper than credit cards at this point. If you're getting charged with your 4%, you can start running 9.99% offers to customers, and because credit card interest rate has gone through, right? Now we're talking about hopefully on the flip side, capping that at 10%, which would be awesome. Yep. But if you get a 22% credit card because you need to charge things, grab a 9.99% interest rate. That's a 0% or 2% in a merchant fee to the company.
Yep.
That's a win-win. But if you don't have that as a tool in your tool belt going out there in this environment,
yeah,
that's like you're bringing a knife to a gunfight. It doesn't 100%. Make sense.
100%. Yeah, yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Cool, dude. That was a lot. That was good. Like I said, we tried to stay out of the weeds. We talked about we could have.
We can go everywhere on this one.
Talked about navigating the team. Talked about how to be active, aggressive on things. Talked about how to manage rising costs, how to set expectations, how to stay out of dicey situations with homeowners. Guys, I think if once again, a lot of you probably know these things and are thinking them, yourself as well. We're rounding it out here. It'll be interesting.
Do you know what the hardest part of all this is?
What's that?
Just doing it.
Oh yeah.
Just stepping up. Get out of your comfort circle and like literally waking up and be like, I don't have a clue how to navigate financing right now.
Correct.
I'm just going to start the steps and you'll get the hang of it. And I promise you, this is the number one thing. I walk into business like, man, I've been trying to get Google guaranteed for years. I'm like, dude, it's one form. You can get it done in 20 minutes. What do you mean years? And it's because nobody just took the initiative to do it.
That
blows
is
my mind.
So true. That's so true. Yeah. That's so true.
It's crazy. No. It's insane. So
it's crazy. No, that's a good one to end on. So like Jay said, you got to start doing stuff, actually do it. Don't just listen to it.
Yeah.
A lot of things you can do, be smart with your customers. Don't be too bullheaded. Don't lose sales because you're sound like an idiot in somebody's home and they don't like you because of it. And we'll catch you on the next one. We'll catch you on 27, ideally next week. And we may have a guest, so we'll see.
Yes. That sounds good, man.